Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Hayomi, Baba Basra, Nun Aleph. We are holding on the fourth line off the top of the Amud. V'loy le'isha, right? The Mishnah says that a woman, a married wife, has no ability to claim ownership on her husband's assets. She can't have chazaka as proof of ownership because he's not very much makpid. He's not going to get in her way when she takes his pay raise. V'loy le'isha b'nichsei bala. Pshita asks the Gemara, well, isn't this obvious? Why even discuss this? Kiven de islam mezoini. We all know that a married woman is entitled to mezoinis. Her husband is meant to support her. So of course she's taking his pay raise for support. Mezoini, hu deka achla. There's no indication of ba'alos. She doesn't own the property. He's allowing her to take it for mezoinis. Answers the Gemara le'itzricha. Apparently, we are speaking the yiched la'ara. He already designated for her another property, le'mezoina, to use for mezoinis. And this is an additional property which she is accessing. So I would think, well, she has no right to take the pay raise here, and she does for many years running. It should be a chazaka. And the answer is no. Says the Mishnah, even in this case, as the Rashbam explains, afilu hachel le'kapit ba'al, i'achlo tfei, even so, the husband is not makpid. She's his wife. He's not going to be makpid if she eats a bit more than she's entitled to. V'ilkach, says the Rashbam, leis lo chazaka, chazaka does not take place. Okay, so that's a straightforward halacha. An isha cannot make chazaka b'nichsei ba'ala on her husband's assets. But, ha raya yesh. Let's say she has proof of actual ownership. Ishtar mechira, a purchase document that she purchased it from the husband. Yesh, it works. Now, we consider it hers. Really? Why? Says the Gemara Lema, why can't we say like this? Ligluye zuzi hudibai. The husband really did not want to sell it to her. He was just sort of tricking her into bringing out her money, which he had suspected that she's hiding from him. It's my money, says the husband. I received payment for the field. But money was mine to begin with. I had no intention of selling it to her. Rashbam says, Loy ledas, kinyon, mechira, kibaltim. I didn't accept payment in order to generate a sale. V'loy gamarti v'iknesi. I never intended on selling it to her. Ligluye zuizi, hu deboy. This is going to be a recurring phrase throughout the daf. I want to be megala her money. She's high. She was siphoning off my money. I want to set her up so that I can discover her cash, her, hidden account, which is really my money. It's not really a sale. So why does the Mishnah say that if she can show that he actually sold it to her and accepted payment, it's hers? Says the Gemara, Shamas Mina. So perhaps we can conclude from this Mishnah that we don't allow him to claim this type of claim. Hamaycher sadal ishtay, if a man in fact sells his wife the field, kansa, it's hers. We don't say zuzi hu deboy. He's just trying to uncover her treasures. Says the Gemara loy. Perhaps we cannot really deduce this from our Mishnah. Ema, we can say like this, Haraya yesh b'shtar matana. Perhaps if he sells it to her and he accepts payment, it was just a ploy, just a trick to get her money, which is really his money, as per his claim. When the Mishnah says that she can claim ownership if she has a raya, she has a shtar, we're speaking not about a shtar mechira, where he took payment. We're speaking about a shtar matana. He gifted her the property. He didn't get any money for it. Why would he give her a matana if he wasn't really serious about it? Oh, so now she's considered the owner. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman addressed Rav Huna. He says, Lehava, where were you last night? Lehava Mar. You weren't with us last night. Gaban Bo'urta in the evening, Bet'chuma, within the Tchuma of the city. That's where their yeshiva, their Bris Medrash was, at the end of the, you know, near the city. So you weren't there. The Amrinan Mili Mal Yosa, we spoke amazing things last night. Amalesi says, oh, what did I miss? My Mili Mal Yosa, what are these great things? Amrisu that you discussed. So he says, okay, I'll tell you. Hamaycher Sadal Ishtai, our very halach, if one sells his field to his wife, Kansa, it's a proper kinyan, she gets it. Veloy Amrinan Ligluye Zuze Hudubai, we don't allow him to claim, well, I'm just trying to trick her into... No, a sale is a sale. Amalei, so Rav Huna responds, Pshita, well, obviously, of course she's koina. Dal zuzi mihacha, we're speaking that she has a shtar, right? Skip the money. Put the money factor aside. Okay, that's a questionable thing. You know, was it really a proper payment? Was it his? Okay, you know what? Ignore the money aspect. But she's left with she has a shtar, which is enough for a kinyan. V'tikni b'shtar, let the shtar that she has suffice to grant her the property. As we learned in Maseches Kiddushin, one can acquire property by one of three methods, right? Payment, shtar, and chazaka. So you don't need all three, right? Miloy tanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah? Nochosim sheyesh lanachrayis, secure, reliable assets, meaning real estate elements. Niknin v'kesef u'b'shtar b'chazaka. Okay, so what's the big deal? Oh, you know, it's a proper sale. Forget about the money. Legluy is zuzi. We don't say legluy. Forget about that. She has a shtar. Amalei says, no. You're mistaken. Because v'lav itmar Allah, you're assuming, based on this Mishnah, that producing a shtar is sufficient for kinyan. No, v'lav itmar Allah, we haven't we learned an explanation on top of that Mishnah. Amar Shmuel, loishono l'b'shtar matana. Yeah, you can receive a gift based on a shtar. Right? So the shtar is enough to give you the karka if it's a matana. There's no payment. There's no money changing hands. Yeah, so shtar is enough. Aval b'shtar mecher, but if it's a sale document, where typically there's money involved, loikona achitinli dameha. Just taking possession of a shtar, getting that document, is not enough to give you the property until you pay for it. Because the seller is not soimich das, he's not really committed to the sale unless he gets paid for it. So yeah, a shtar without money, it doesn't really work. So there goes your whole kasha. Well, he says, v'lev moisev Rav Amnuna, but he responded, but didn't Rav Amnuna ask on this explanation that a shtar alone is not sufficient because we have a brisa which seems to say it is, even by a sale. B'shtar ketzad, how do you go about doing a kinyan of shtar? Cost of law, so the seller writes to the buyer, alaniyar, on any sort of, you know, writing, you know, material, a paper, oyal acheres, a piece of pottery. Ava b'shem b'shem reput, even though it's worthless. And he writes to him, Sadi Mechura Lach, my field is hereby being sold to you, Sadi Knui Lach, being granted you, Hareza Mechura, Unasuna. It works, it's sold, it's gifted. So you see that even just a plain shtar gets him the field. Well, says the word, V'lav hu moisiv lo, hu mefarak lo, but didn't Rav Amnuna himself ask Akasha, you know, this Kasha, but he himself, right, he asked it, but he answered it himself. What was the answer that he offered? That typically a seller is not satisfied with just, you know, a promise of payment. He wants payment. Until he gets payment, it's not considered. But here we're speaking, the Brisa, which indicates that a shtar is alone enough to affect a kinyan, was speaking dafka, specifically in a case where he's trying to unload the property. It's costing him more than, you know, the maintenance is just eating him away, right? But moicher sadeu, he's trying to get rid of this field because of its inferior poor quality and poor performance. So here he's trying to get it done as soon as possible before the buyer has a chance to retract his offer. So here, just by giving him a shtar, that is enough to make a kinyan. But in your typical sale, typical case, until he gets his money, the property has not changed hands. So a shtar alone is not enough to do that. Okay, so back to our story. the husband sold his property to his wife, a regular piece of property, a regular sada, shtar alone is not enough. Document alone is not enough. You need payment. Oh, but as per payment, he can argue and say, well, I was just trying to get her to reveal her treasures to me. L'glui yizuzi hudibayi. Right? He could theoretically claim that. Comes Rav Nachman and says no. Right? He told Rav Huna, you weren't by us last night. We discussed the sugya. We concluded that it's not a valid claim. In fact, as he sold it to her, it's done. Rav Ashi Amar, here's another teretz to the brisa, which indicates that a shtar is typically enough for a kinyan. We're not speaking about a sale. By a sale, you need both. You need payment. You need a shtar is not enough. B'matana bikeish litna loy. The brisa is not speaking about a sale. Rather, it's speaking about a matana. Reuven is trying to give Shimon a matana. And when the brisa says sadi mechuralach, sadi knuyalach, it's all the same case. Mechura means it's a sale, and knuya, according to the Bach and the Suna, it means a matana. So which one? Is it a sale or a gift? The answer is it's really a gift, but he's trying to empower. He's trying to enhance the power of the recipient. He wants him to have a column with alamilus. You see, there's an advantage to a sale. Because if something goes wrong, I have to refund you the sale. You know, I have to back it up, right? There's an advantage to a gift, Rashbam says, because of bar metzra. You see, when you sell, you have to first, you know, give the first rights to the neighbors. What they call in English the first rights of refusal, right? So the neighbor has the first chance to make an offer. Because it's easier to maintain two properties next to each other, etc. So the Chachamim, based on the Pasuk Va'asisa, Hayosher Va'atoyv, we'll back in Bamatzi, right? So the neighbor has a first right. But if it's a gift, I want to give it to him, not to you, right? So basically, when you have a shtar, where you're indicating that you're selling it, and you're giving it, and you're giving him all the advantages pertaining to all these types of situations. He has the advantage of a mecher pertaining to achrayus, and the element of matana pertaining to the halacha of bar metzra. He doesn't have to offer it to his neighbor. That's Rav Ashi's approach to this price. When the brisa says a shtar alone works, we're speaking that it's not a sale. He's giving it as a matana. Why did he mention anything about a gift? Sadim mechurulach. He wanted to give him that extra power to be treated as a buyer with respect to achrayus. V'matana bikeish litna loy v'lam makasav loy b'lashem mechar. So why did he add the element of sale in the shtar? K'dei liapis koychay, to enhance it, to give him the extra power as though he was a loykeach. But in reality, he didn't really buy it. He didn't pay for it. But typically, if it's a sale, of course, unless you pay for it, the seller is not really soymich das, he's not really committed to the deal. Shtar alone is not enough. Okay, here comes a kasha on Rav Nachman's halacha that if one sells his field to his wife, it's a valid deal. He can't say ligluye zuze. I was just using this as a way to get my money back. Meisvei. You have a kasha from a brisa regarding a similar case. You have a slave master, love him in an eved, who borrows from his slave, and then releases him. Does he have to pay the slave back? Or a husband borrows from his wife, mina isha, vigerish, and he divorces her, ain lahin olav klum, they have no claim on him. My time, you know why? The Gemara is assuming. Because of this very reason. It wasn't really meant as a real loan. He knew that these individuals were hiding money from him, and he was trying to get the money back. My time, alav mishum dam rinan, we applied this idea of l'glu yizuzay hudaboy. Okay, so that's a kasha on Rav Nachman. Why is the field sold? He was trying to discover hidden money. Shani Hasam, no, says the Gemara, that's very different. Because a person doesn't willingly borrow from somebody unless he's really desperate. And here, it's more likely that he wasn't really borrowing. He was just trying to use this as a trick to get them to show their money. And this doesn't apply by a sale. Shani Hosam Dloinichalele Shavi Nafshe. Person typically is not willing to submit himself to the idea of being a borrower, which is pretty much enslaving himself to the lender, right? Eved Leiva Leish Malva, as the Pasuk initially calls him an Eved Leiva. So chances are that over here he wasn't trying to borrow from his slave, from his Eved. He doesn't want to be an Eved to his Eved or Eved to his wife, right? Leish Kol Ir Sarib Avei, right? He was just using it as a way to get his money back. But in Rav Nachman's case, when a ish sold a karka to his isha, over there we don't have the svara, he's not becoming an eved, right? So there, chances are, right, we assume it's a valid, legitimate, proper sale. Shalach Rav Huna bar Avin ha-moicher sod li ish de konsum. Rav Huna bar Avin sent a message to the Talmidim, you should know, yep, if one sells his field to his wife, she's koine, uba lechel peiros, and it's not like, you know, she keeps it, you know, it's not like he can't have the peiros, of course he could. Rashbam says, it's no worse than properties that she may have inherited under his watch. So he's entitled to access to payers. It's her property, but it's his payers. Baram, but Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Vo, we have a long list of the greats of the generation who disagreed. The husband is not entitled to payers. Whoa, why? So what do they say? Amru, b'ma'atana, b'keish, Litnayla. We assume, because it's his wife, who he likes, he's not just selling, he's giving it to her wholeheartedly, like a gift. And he's relinquishing any hold, any connection. Even the payers are hers. So why did he indicate that it was a sale? Like we said before, because he was trying to give her the extra rights that are applicable to a matana recipient. So technically it was a buyer. He wanted to give her the extra rights, the achrayus, you know, element as well. But it was really technically a gift. In which case she keeps it all with the peiros. B'ma'atana b'keish litnei lo, v'lo makasav lo l'shom mecher. So why did he indicate that it was a sale? Chilul Yapa says, kechel, to give the extra power of achrayus, etc. Meis v'yeh comes a kash. On the halacha that we just said, that we don't say l'glu yezuzay, the whole thing is just a ploy. No, it's a valid sale. So it's the same brice like we had before with the same teretz. Lova mina eved, v'shechruroi, mina isha, v'gerusha, right? Ein lohem alav klum, he lent the money, he has no claim, my time, alav mishum damrinon, ligluye zuzer de boy, apparently he's just trying to discover their treasure, shani hasan. The reason is because when it comes to borrowing, it's very different than a sale. The l'shavi inish, eved, loive l'shmalve, one typically does not want to submit himself as an eved, so we assume the whole thing was just a trick. Amarav. So now we're going to have a machlekes amaroyim with respect to this type of halacha of selling or gifting one's property to his wife. Hamoicher sada liishtei. If one sells his sada to his wife, kansa, she gets it, right? V'habalecha peiros, and he maintains the peiros access. V'matona, but if he gives it to her as a matona, kansa, once again she's koine, but here he gives up peiros. V'ein habalecha peiros. Right? Like we said before, because you know we assume he's giving it to her ba'ayin yafa, generously, wholeheartedly, and done. He doesn't want, he's not expecting payers. Rav Lezer, Amar, echod ze ve'echod ze. It makes no difference whether it's a matana or officially a mecher. No, we interpret the mecher as really a matana, like we said before, but he's just using mecher language to give her the extra abilities, extra kaiches of a mecher. So in both cases, we say kansa, she keeps it. Ve'ein habal echel peiros. Avad Rav Chisda Uvda, Rav Chisda carried out an actual story. I mean, he implemented it. Halacha l'maisa. Uvda k'rabalazar. Like k'rabalazar, that what? That even by a mecher, she keeps the peiros. Amru lei, so he was asked by Rabban Ukva, Rabban Nechemya, who are the grandchildren of Rav. B'nei Banse the Rav. Rav Chisda. So they came to ask Rav Chisda, why did you pick k'rabalazar? Shavak Mar Ravravi V'avid Kizutri. So you basically abandoned Rav's Shita. Rav is Ravravi, the great of the great, because he was way older, more prominent than Rav Elezer, who lived much, much later. So you chose the smaller one, the lesser Shita, less prominent opinion. V'avid Kizutri, you followed Rav Elezer. who's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, who was lived much later. Why did you go that route? Amar Leisi, he responded, Rav Chizda did, Vanonamika Rav Avri Avdi. Actually, I also was taking the high road, like the Rav Avri, like the great ones, and Rashbam says, I was actually following Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. Rabbi Yochanan was a colleague of Rav, who holds the same thing. Whether it's a gift or a mecher, in both cases the wife is kind of the property. The husband is out of it. He keeps no parents. Why? Like we explained before, because even though it appears like a sale, it's not really a sale, right? It's his wife. He's trying to give her the best, and then right, the biggest and the best, and it's really a gift. Total package, the property, the payrays, and the only reason why he mentioned mecher is so that she should be considered a buyer with respect to certain privileges. Amar Rava, Hilchasa, what's the conclusion? Hamecher sadeh liishtoi, loikansa. No. She doesn't get it. Whoa. Why? Because we say it's not really a genuine sale. The glui is zuzi, or the boy is trying to figure out where her money is lying. But then he continues, Vavalech Paris. It's hers, but he gets the Paris. Which seems to be a contradiction. Is it hers or not? Okay, we'll see. Vimatana, however, if it's a gift, Konsa, here certainly she gets it. Ve'ena Vavalech Paris, and he's totally out of it. Now, what did he mean before when he said that when you sell it, it's hers, but then it's not hers, but then he says, well, it is hers, but he gets the Paris. Is it hers or not? Is it a real deal or not? Tarti, we have two conflicting statements. Oh, it depends. Like Kasha, it depends when. Kan b'moyz timunin. If the money that she used to purchase the property from the husband was timunin, was known to be hidden. It was hiding in an offshore Swiss account. We know that. So here, she's not koina, because he can say liglu yezuzi hu deboy. Kan b'moyz she'en timunin. However, if the money is known and revealed and accessible, right? In this case, he can't say glu glu zuzi. Rather, the sale is a sale. Domar Yehuda, mois tmunin loikonsa, mois sheinin tmunin konsa. Okay, let's recap today's daf. Regarding Baal Ishtoi, okay, so if he sold her a property, we have a whole shaila. Whether she's koina, maybe not, maybe yes, machlekes, right? According to the maskona, depends if the money was hidden or not. So the svara, the reason to say she's not koina, he's just trying to figure out where she's keeping her money, his money. Whereas the other shita says, no, a sale is a sale, you can't challenge it. Now, if she's koine, is the Baal going to eat peiros? Again, we have two opinions here. On one hand, we could say he doesn't keep the peiros. He does keep the peiros because it's like any other nechasim that she has. It's her karka with his peiros, right? Perhaps he doesn't get the peiros, because we interpret it as a matana, as a gift. And he only called it a mecher to give her the special kayach, the special zuchus of a mecher. Now, if he gave her a matana outright, of course she's koina, and he keeps no peiros. What about a halva, if he lent her money? In this case, we say he doesn't really owe the money. Nobody in his right mind would submit himself as a loiva, as an eved loiva lishmalva, and it was just meant, l'glu yezuzei, hudibai. All the best to you, and hatzlach rav.